Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirium at the mere mention of my name. This is the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only, the incredible Mark Unger.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
Joining me, as always, is the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski.
You got it, genius.
Filling in this week for the vacationing Diane Brierley is the lovely Carrie Furstenberg.
I think she's blown her top.
Maybe not yet, but she probably will before the show is over. Carrie Furstenberg of the Minnesota Furstenbergs.
Oh, will that die down?
The Bratwurst. The Bratwurst Furstenberg. It will never die. She's bored already. Did you hear? She's yawning at the beginning of the show.
I was just
so you know.
It got really dark.
It's like a sleeping bag in here. It's real warm.
Oh, it's because all the lights on in here. Anyway, engineering the show as always, Timothy Ray pushing buttons, twisting knobs, trying to stay awake during the program himself. This is a show that handles all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markgunger.com. The way the show works is you can send us an email about anything and be totally anonymous. In return, we are brutally honest. If we like the way you think, we'll celebrate it. If not, we will castigate it. And that's all I've got to say about that. So this is not a show for your self-esteem. It is, however, a show that will help deal with your challenges in a very honest way. If you want someone to be very sensitive and caring about your situation, don't email me! Okay, so here.
This is awesome.
I got to read this. I didn't read this all. It's at the end of the show yesterday. Ross starts reading this email. Dear Mark, I'm a twice divorced father of three children, one with each marriage and the third from a girlfriend I keep on the side, who is engaged to a good Christian woman who goes to a different church than me. I am a Baptist nudist with a penchant for gardening. I don't know what that's got to do with anything. She is a fundamentalist who believes in snake handling.
Snakes are in the garden, and he's a nudist.
Yeah, it's a visual.
So, yeah, it's a visual thing.
She's a fundamentalist who believes in snake handling as an expression of her faith. We've been living together in a double-wide mobile home for a couple of years and have a healthy sex life. We're not convicted by this due to our dedication to each other and our churches. We even watch porn together to spice things up. We are supposed to get married in 6 months, but a recent event has me questioning things. Last week, she was angry because I worked overtime as a male stripper, and she boiled my goldfish and served it to me for supper. I'm afraid she might have an anger management problem. And I don't know that I want to be married to a woman like that. I'm not sure what to do because I'm certain God wants me to marry this woman because she is my soulmate. God confirmed this with an image of Jesus showing up on a piece of burnt toast the morning we were celebrating our post-engagement coitus. Your advice would be appreciated. And focus, I'm going psycho. Ross is reading this. And then at the end, he writes, sorry, just had to write this and send it home. It makes you laugh. Turn. Anyway, so very funny. Very funny.
All the things that drive us nuts.
That is.
All
well, you know
email.
What's sad about it is that could be a real email.
Absolutely.
Because that's how crazy people are.
Mm-hmm.
There really could be a Baptist nudist out there with a snake-handling Pentecostal wife.
Do you remember that family who was, you know,
her girlfriend,
this guy was dating this girl, and the girl writes in, I'm dating this guy who his parents are nudists, he's a nudist, we sit at the table naked, and they have no problem making out in front of each other. Remember that?
They have sex in front of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Shower together. You remember all that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's a real story. Could be real. Yeah. No, I know. I know. Sue wanted to know what to do.
Yeah.
So, sweetheart, when you go over to someone's house and they're naked, you leave. I mean, how dumb.
Clothing is
how
optional.
How dumb is that woman?
Yeah.
Good grief. Anyway, so that was pretty, that's a funny email. But what's sad is that could have been a real email. Maybe everybody's punking us. Maybe none of these stories are real.
That would be interesting. And they're getting a big rise out of hearing you.
That would be, you know, going psycho crazy. Pretty funny.
Like you said, it
sadly,
is
sadly, I think they are real. I don't think these people are making this stuff. Okay, what do you got today?
Let's dive into CBS News. Marriage rules to break sometimes. Traditional wisdom about ways to keep a marriage happy is occasionally not so wise.
And can be damaging.
Yes.
Ooh. What kind of damaging information am I giving?
Well, let's just take a look at what if the traditional keys to a happy marriage, such as always shared a bed, you know, don't go to bed angry, honesty is the best policy, the kids come first, and so on. What if they're really wrong? Sometimes those rules for wedded bliss can actually be outdated and even damaging.
Well, damaging, sure. So go to bed angry.
Yep.
Lie like a dog.
Yep.
Put your kids last.
Yeah.
And don't share a bed.
Mm, yeah. So.
Well, those are dangerous policies, aren't they?
Yes. So here's one. If there is no spark, you're doomed. Many married couples understand intellectually, I love how some of these things are intellectually, we understand, that they won't always experience that I've been drugged by love feeling in a long-term relationship. But many
I've been
still
drugged by love.
Is there a song? But many still believe that when the spark dies out, it means they're in the wrong relationship.
Oh, no. What do you do?
I thought you were going to play Kesha.
Kesha.
Do this.
Never close your eyes anymore when I kiss
Sing it, Ross.
Your lips.
He always holds back, doesn't he?
Yes.
And there's no tenderness.
Sing it, baby. Sing it.
Like before in your fingertips. Trying hard not to show it.
Now he's singing. Come on, baby.
But baby.
Who is this?
Everybody sing it.
I know it. You lost that love and feeling like whoa, that love and feeling.
Come on, get it. First and bird.
You lost that love and feeling. Now it's gone.
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 But it turns out that the happiest couples are friends who share lives and are compatible in interests and values. According to research from the National Marriage Project at Rutgers University, the idea that marriage success rests on romantic love and good luck is a myth. In reality, the
What? I don't understand this. It turns out that the happiest couples are friends who share lives and compatible in interests and values.
Duh.
It sounds
that's
pretty
a
good to me. Yeah, right. Well, it is. If they're trying to
well,
push.
Well, Shazam! I didn't know that. You mean you both like the same thing?
Right.
Well, who'd have thought that would help your marriage?
Mm-hmm. In reality, most couples say that their long-term marriages are successful because of commitment and companionship.
Commitment? Well, what else do they think? This isn't making any sense. They said, what if the traditional keys to a happy marriage don't go to bed or on
are wrong.
Are wrong.
But this one is true.
Well, idiots.
Partners should share the same hobbies. They're taking a look at that. Another one is never go
hobbies.
To bed angry.
I thought it was like boobies.
Well, no, we should not do that. Do not share boobies, please. Keep your
goodness
boobies
gracious.
To yourself.
Keep your boobies yourself.
Boobies.
Yes, never go to bed angry. Trying to work through a
it
problem.
It looks like boobies.
It does. It's just the
it
typo.
Does.
Well, it's just, you know what? You see what you want to see.
Guess how many boobs I saw today.
So, you know, the thing with never go to bed angry is try to work through a problem when you're tired and stressed won't get you anywhere. When people are overwhelmed by anger, they experience a psychological response that causes the heart rate and hormone levels to increase.
Yeah, it's called getting mad.
That's right. And it becomes almost impossible.
Who studies this stuff? They're not telling us anything.
Well, these are apparently some
point?
Of the rules that you can break.
If there's no spark, you're doomed.
Yeah.
That's a rule?
Look, man, I didn't come up with this.
Partners should share the same hobbies. Maybe.
But you don't have to. I think that's the one of the ones that they're saying you can break. It's not a must.
Oh, they're saying you don't have to. Okay, yes. Well, that I agree with.
And that once again.
I get it now.
It's, yeah. It's
hard to read this dumb thing.
I know it is.
So the first rule, that's not, if there's no spark, you're doomed. That's the rule. They're saying that's not true. I would agree with that.
Correct.
Next rule, partners should share the same hobbies. They're saying that's not true. I would agree with that as well.
Right.
My wife and I don't share very many hobbies at all.
So what do you say about the never go to bed angry thing?
Trying to work through a problem when you're tired and stressed won't get you anywhere.
Because of what, you know, it never gets resolved. You're going to bed angry and just agree to disagree for now and revisit the issue when you're rested.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. Now, there is a scripture that says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath.
Right.
But see, that's the advantage of waiting to get mad till after the sun goes down. Because now you got 24 hours, you see.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, then.
But no, that's a good. I mean, sometimes, honestly, I think it's some of the worst times to be getting into stuff when you lay down to go to bed.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I have had my wife do this. You know, we're laying down, we're going to bed. Well, I got this problem about this, that, and the other. Now you're going to share this.
Right.
You can't wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I agree with that as well. You should never sleep in separate beds, it says. That's a myth.
Right.
That couples sleep together. A lot of couples actually do sleep together better separately.
I'm not one of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that, but I mean, it's true. Because some guys, they snore like there's no tomorrow. Another myth, if you fight, you're headed for a divorce. Well, that's
not true.
Also a myth.
Once you have children, they come first.
What does that mean now?
Which one? Once you have children?
Yeah, read that one.
Most of us have seen the couples who feel like they have to put their relationship on hold in order to be good parents, but those couples may have it backwards.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. See, the best thing you can do for your kids is make sure your relationship is strong.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Their solution is create couple-only time during which you do not discuss bills or children, where you do fun activities and enjoy each other's company. The kids will be all right.
That's good.
Always be 100% honest.
That's a myth.
Go
see, I talk
on
about
this.
Yes,
don't, you do.
Because you got to be honest with how I feel. And they emotionally vomit all over each other.
Yes, they do.
I got to tell you, I got to be honest with how I feel.
In marriage, no hold barred honesty is not always the best policy. For example, you don't need to share details of past relationships.
No. Keep your mouth shut.
I love this. That invites comparisons. And when you compare, someone comes up short.
Sometimes literally.
Right? So be polite and caring.
Well, no matter who does that. After you're married, you're talking about previous partners?
Oh, I bet it happens a lot. Especially if there's an argument.
I bet it happens with women.
Yes.
I bet you women are like, well, why did you blah, 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 on the stuff? And then she gets mad when
my boyfriend would do this, or
push for details. So I bet you women
After you're married?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I could see it happening both ways.
I mean, before you're married, if you want to talk, why would you wait until after you're married to say, well, what do you think of, what, are my boobs better than her boobs kind of talking? Is that what you're talking about?
It's probably out of insecurity. Because then she wants to feel validated, and then...
Well, good heavens, there's times not to talk about things.
And I could see a woman, I'm not that I am one and that I understand, but I could see a woman, if they're emotionally hurt and distraught, bringing up something from the past that she had experienced just to rub it in her partner's face or her husband's face. Well, so-and-so did this, and that's why you should do it, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I think it's just honesty is not always the best policy.
It's definitely. You don't have to share everything you're feeling. It is bad advice. Well, so far, I'm on with these guys 100%.
Never vacation without each other.
Ooh. I don't know if I agree. They're saying that's a false.
That you should always just do it together. They received wisdom here that if you have time off from your jobs and lives, you should naturally prefer to spend it together. One problem with this rule is that...
Naturally prefer.
Right.
Come on.
One problem with this rule is that you and your spouse may not have the same definition of a great getaway. You like to ski? He's a beach bum. The other danger is the belief that you have to be each other's everything, and that's just not realistic.
I agree with that.
Right.
I don't think he has to be your everything. People who go... you know, this is going to sound weird to a lot of people, but in my church, for example, we don't have a marriage ministry. We don't have a marriage group that gets together.
Don't need it.
And goes through everybody's information all the time. Because at some point, it actually becomes more damaging, in my opinion.
And
you're constantly holding up this ideal, this perfect. Now, who can do perfect? Nobody can do perfect.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can see, you know, laugh your way. My ministry is more about just straightening out stupid thinking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And here's but the whole idea of marriage enrichment, where it actually makes things worse. So I can see you don't have to be their everything, and a man doesn't have to meet all the emotional needs of a woman and all this ridiculous stuff that you get from so-called marriage enrichment because you're always pushing that envelope.
Right.
I agree with that. But I do not think you should be going on vacation separately.
But okay, but what if, now, the way their solution, I actually kind of dug the solution that they just put here. It says, just beware, sometimes you need a spa weekend and he might want to go camping. What's wrong with that?
That's a weekend. Right. That I don't have a problem with.
There's, you know, I think it just depends on what
vacation.
Right.
So I'm going to go to
Aruba,
Bermuda without my wife. I don't think so. My wife's going to go to, you know, San Salvador by herself. I don't think so.
Yes. And the last one, boring is bad. The problem with this so-called rule is when couples confuse a calm, you know, predictable union with a bad one, a drama-filled relationship may feel exciting, but in the long run, it's not likely to be healthy. Isn't it better to boringly know where your spouse is every night than to be excited by constant ups and downs? Better to have a safe, relaxed, boring life together in the everyday. Solution? You can always inject excitement with vacations and activities.
Not if you're doing it separately.
Right?
All right, so I will buy into this.
Yeah.
If there's no spark, you're doomed. Correct. That's a falseness. Partners should share the same hobbies. False. Never go to bed angry. False. I really agree with that one. I know some people won't because of that. Let your sun go down on your wrath, although technically the sun's already down. So.
Yep.
You should never sleep in separate beds. I don't have a problem with that. If you fight, you're headed for divorce. That's a total myth. You know, I think people who end up in divorce are oftentimes the ones who never fight.
Never fought.
Because everything builds up. Mm-hmm. Once you have children, they always have to come first. I think that's false. I don't think they always have to come first. The best thing you can do for your children is to maintain a strong marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And most kids would feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
As a kid, I'm telling you, I would rather my mom and dad be solid than me getting attention every 5 seconds.
Great security.
Well, no, it's much more security. Yeah. It's much more than trying to meet my immediate wants and needs and whatnot.
Well, then you show your son or daughter how to succeed as a man or woman in a marriage union. Mm-hmm. That it's really about.
Oh, there's no question.
So I
think that's a big one. I know a lot of people, especially stepfamilies. See, we talked about the lethal.
Yep, that it's lethal.
Poison of stepfamilies is because they never get that.
Right.
They never get that. The children will always come first. Screw you, buddy. I'm always going to. And that's one of the reasons that those marriages struggle so much. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is the union should come first.
I wonder what the statistic is for, you know, I know that Diane Salee in that article said that it's a very low success rate, but I'm curious if there's an actual statistic
for step-outs,
out there.
It's 60-70% divorce rate.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
60-70.
Yeah.
And this is not necessarily, I mean, secular or Christian. It's just across the board.
Yeah, it's just the statistics that they have.
Wow.
Real high divorce rate. Because they can never do this. And a lot of people in first marriages can't do this.
Right.
You know, that's one thing. But once they get into a blended family, they almost never do this. The kids will always come first, and they'll tear the marriage apart.
You
they don't
talk
care.
About that in your marriage seminar, don't you, when it comes to sex and that, it, you know, the women, well, it just shouldn't be about that. You know, if kids come in, that they become public utilities and blah, 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 that for 18 years they can't expect their husband to be put on hold, that they need to pay attention.
No, absolutely, yeah. You can't do that. You got to pay attention to the relationship. So this, they're dead right on this.
Yep.
You don't have to be 100% honest. I'm sure, I don't want to hear what my wife always thinks about me. Good Lord, I don't want to hear what anybody thinks about me all the time. Mm-hmm. If you think something very nice, I'd like to hear that. Mm-hmm. If you think something nasty, I'd rather you keep that to yourself.
Has your wife ever shared, you know, stuff that she's thought like at a later time with somebody in your presence, and you're going, wow, I'm so glad you never told me back then, but it's kind of still awkward that I'm hearing this now.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I've had that. I mean, it's not bad, but I'm just like, thank you for not sharing it with me back during the time.
This idea of taking vacation separately is absurd, I think.
Yeah.
Although a weekend, a little time apart from each other, yes. Let the guy go be with his buddies for a weekend. Let your wife get away from you
and
the
Vegas.
Kids. Yeah, not Vegas at a strip club, you know?
Not with your best girlfriend.
Yeah, don't go to Chippendale Dancers.
My.
And that somehow they think boring is bad. No, boring is good. Very good. I like this one.
Wonderful.
I just had the one problem with the one. So cool. All right. We will be back with some of your emails, assuming they are not including nudist Baptists.
Gardeners.
And gardeners.
Fundamentalists.
With fundamentalists. Snake handling wives. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
You remember that ball game we went to a couple years ago?
Sure.
And how you didn't have enough cash for two hot dogs, so you walked with me on your shoulders until we found an ATM? And then when we got back to our seats, we never saw the hot dog guy again.
Well, I don't remember all that.
Yeah, that was an awesome game.
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true, but it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com. One hour a day of Mark, not enough? Why not take him with you? Each of Mark's audio CD series are at least 4 hours of Bible teaching, laughing, and learning that you can listen to wherever you are, at work, in your car, or at home. Topics include men and women.
We live in a culture that's completely clueless and believes in all kinds of nonsense. You need to know something. The key to a successful marriage is not finding the right person. It's doing the right thing.
Family issues.
Men need to be involved with their children. Children need the challenge and the risk that men offer to them.
And even verse-by-verse Bible studies. All with Mark Gunger's humor and sometimes outrageous take on the subject at hand. To see all of the series available and order your copy today, log on to laughyourway.com or call 866-52-LAUGH. Order now at laughyourway.com.
Mark Gunger sing bass. I'm a bass singer today.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show as we groove to the soul sounds of the Army of the Lord. Taking your email questions about your relational challenges.
I am a 13-year-old who attended your seminar at Word of Faith Christian Center, Port Elizabeth, Africa.
South Africa. Yes.
I have a question. Is it okay for a girl my age to be in a relationship with a guy who's in his early 20s? She kind of sets it up, so we had to do a little bit more research to find out how old she is.
13.
And, I'm a 13-year-old, sorry, but no, but the dating and how long and everything. How long have you been dating, we asked. Are your parents on board with this? And are you staying sexually pure? When do you plan to marry? All this additional info is coming our way. So then she responds, we've been dating for a year and 4 months. No, my parents know nothing. Yes, we firmly believe in abstinence, and I'm not thinking about
marriage
yet.
How are you dating with your parents not knowing what's going on? What is that about? I don't understand that.
It's completely possible when you have parents that are
clueless
and involved in career and pursuit of other things. So, you know, her question is it okay? And they're not thinking about marriage yet, but I want to be sure of my independence before I do get married. The original question is it okay for me at 13 to date a guy who is in his early 20s?
You know, I would suggest for you to cool it. If you were my daughter, you wouldn't be dating anybody. Straight up. You start dating when you can start seriously considering marriage. That's my opinion. If you're 17 and want to start dating because you're thinking, yeah, I might get married at 18, 19, fine.
Yep.
Even 16, you know, I'd be open to get married if I, you know, fall in love with the right guy at 18. It's fine with me.
But they're sneaking
around. I got married
at 18.
I have no problem with that. But you got a 13-year-old. What are you going to do, sweet? Are you going to wait for 5 years?
And how are you going to keep it secret from your parents for the next
two,
3?
And how are you going to stay sexually pure?
Yeah.
You have to understand some people, the more, it's a normal, natural thing. You love someone and you spend time with them, you want to get naked with them. It's just, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's not evil. It's not wicked. It's just, that's the normal.
Yes.
That's the way God designed it. That's why you don't start inflaming all these passions until you have a reasonable chance of fulfilling those passions. That's why you don't start dating until you're thinking, yeah, I'm ready to get married.
Yeah.
You know, or I could be married in a year or two. Beyond that, no, no. So if you're my daughter, unless I'm interested in you getting married at 15, you're not dating at 13. So do I think? I think you should not be doing what you're doing.
That's right.
The chances of you staying sexually pure until you're 18 or
old enough
to get married with a 20-something, which now is going to be closer to 30, it's a bad idea. You really need to stop it.
I always think about the 20-somethings that are dating the 12 and 13-somethings. I'm like, what is
who
in their
mind? Who dates a 13-year-old? Well, obviously, she's got to be very attractive at 13. Let's face it. There are some 13-year-olds that look like they're 22.
But still, I'm 25 and I'm dating a 13-year-old. What does that say about me, regardless of how attractive? I mean, let's go on a date. Let's go hang out with my friends. I would love to introduce you to some of my friends.
Yeah, but have you
that,
seen you know? Some of these 13-year-olds, man?
It's they're sucking. Yeah, they're gorgeous, yes.
Hey, baby!
I get it.
I mean, because there are some. They are like holy stinking cow. Now, just to mess with you all us heads out there. In the Bible, they considered you, this is God speaking in the first person in Ezekiel, that when a woman firmly develops breasts, she is ready for love. You know, so, but they did get married that incredibly early back then.
Well, it was part of the culture, but it sure wasn't.
No, but I'm just saying, I mean, from a biblical, that's really.
Right.
You read about it in Ezekiel when she developed breasts and she was ready for love, you know, after her breasts have been developed. Well, for some girls, man, that's.
Right.
Yeah, pretty early. 13, 14, you know, hello.
Yeah.
And she's now on the market and available, boys. Now, that was a culture then. It's not our culture today. Now, I am not on the other extreme. I don't think you should be waiting until 30 to get married or all that other stupidity. I think it's perfectly reasonable. At 18 years of age, you should be able to get the green light. If you're in love with somebody and you want to get married, get married. You don't have to get married that young. You don't ever have to get married. But if you're in love with someone and want to be with them, then do it right. Do it young. Get it right before you develop all this baggage. But at 13, dear, at 13, your parents don't even know about this. You're just asking for problems. Just, you know, focus on school.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. You don't need this drama in your life going on. And he's 20-some years old. The guy's at his sexual peak. He's not going to want to wait
for five years
before he wants to have sex with you. It's not going to happen. He'll want to have sex with you way earlier than you will want. Even then, he might say he wants. And then you'll feel guilty and have all the problems from that. So, 13, take a shower.
Ride your bike.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com. It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this four-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, Dating, and Relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see. Painted faces fill the places I can't reach.
Sometimes this is Papa.
You know that I could use somebody.
Love.
Sing it.
Kings of Leon.
Oh yeah. You know that I could use somebody. Someone like you and all you know and how you speak.
I could use somebody?
Use some, not use as in like a...
I could use you.
Not as in like...
Well, I could use somebody like you.
Like a friend.
Use somebody.
No, someone like you, of your quality, your character. I could use someone like you in my life.
You know that I can, yeah, that's country music.
It's much more clear.
It's
right there.
It's much more clear. That's just, doesn't sound
like
good
it.
To me.
I love it.
I could really use somebody like you. Really? I don't feel like being used. Kiss off. That's what a girl should. Some guy ever tells you they could use somebody like you, you say, kiss off, Jack. Get away from me.
Great song anyways. Nonetheless.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, a show all about love and relationships, answering your emails.
I have a wonderful email for you, Mr. Gunger, and it starts off by saying, hello, team. I haven't listened to your show very long, but I have listed. There's typos.
Oriental
there's,
sound there.
There's typos because it reads itself. No, it reads like that, so I'm sorry if you're not. My bad.
I liked it. I like the feeling.
Okay. I have listened to your show for very long, but I have listened to many of your archives. I like your show very much, but I have noticed you use a lot of cuss words. It bothers me to
cuss
listen.
Cuss words?
Yes.
They're not cuss words.
Well, listen, it bothers me to listen to
Hail,
this
H-A-I-L.
Words from the people on Christian radio. You know it's just wrong to call people names. Such vocabulary does not glorify God. And just in case Mark
what
asks
names?
What words, bitch, witch, stupid, idiot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I love this. Come
We've
on.
We've called people sluts.
Just in case,
yep.
Mark.
And whores.
Heart.
Because they
are
acting like that.
Yep.
That's not cursing.
Besides, a woman is no bitch. A bitch is a female dog. But you know that.
I do?
I know how people use it, but it's slang.
Have I called somebody badly a bitch?
Nope. Nope, 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 nope.
I don't remember doing that.
No, I just think this is hilarious. So I'm like, well, if you don't like it, don't listen. Stop going to the archives. I mean, what are you
That's
digging for?
Thing.
You know,
I'm listening to the show and I don't like it. Well, here's a thought.
Don't
listen.
She goes, I think you get the point. And yes, many of these people write stupid questions, uh-huh. but they are not stupid. They are ignorant.
Uh-huh.
Stupid means lack of intelligence. And I don't think uh-huh. they are stupid because they
don't
know something.
No, I think they are kind
of
stupid.
Some might
some
be idiots. Yes. But it just sounds so very uncivilized to approach people that way. Because remember, worried about feelings. Got to be PC now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah.
Things like this give Christianity a bad name.
Really? You think I give Christianity a bad name? Seriously.
What about people who are living
more
lives?
Guys screwing their girlfriends and women
cheating
on their husbands and moving in together when they're not married and lying and cheating. And I think that gives Christianity a bad name. That's what I think.
But not that we should care about what people think, but we are seed bearers.
Uh-huh.
And using such vocabulary does not draw people to God. I know this is not the purpose of your show,
uh-huh.
but we should strive to give God a good testimony in everything uh-huh. we do. Thank you for helping people the way that you do.
Wait a minute.
I know.
She just criticized the way that I help them.
May God continue to use you. Please don't misinterpret my words. I do not mean to criticize.
Wait a minute. She criticizes the whole thing, and I don't mean to criticize.
Yeah, but like I said, it's our duty to edify the body of Christ, so uh-huh. keep doing what you're doing.
I think a lot of people are edified on this show.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, all you people. Anybody listen to the show that you don't like the show and you're going out of your way to go listen to old shows
yeah.
and you don't like the show, here's the concept. Quit listening to the show. Pretty simple to me. Some people are being idiots. Some people act incredibly stupid.
Unless they're, you know, they could be having the same problem that you have watching Dexter. They're drawn to it because it's just that kind of odd.
Look,
appeal.
This is not for. Look, there's a reason we're not on any Christian radio station.
You're right.
They could never handle any of this. I talk the way I talk, and I think it's the way most people talk, quite frankly. If someone's being witchy and whining, yeah, they're being bitchy. Everybody understands what that word means.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You think I'm not cursing?
Mm-hmm.
To her,
tell it like
cursing.
It is.
Well, for her, if she used it, it would be cursing. Then, well, sure then it is for her, but it's not to me.
I think my favorite line was, if Mark asks. These are the adjectives that he's used.
Oh, yeah.
That she made a list. I just thought that was really funny.
Was it? Oh, let me see.
Stupid idiots, etc.
Where is it?
Halfway down. And if Mark asks, you see it?
Oh, yeah. Such words do not glorify God. Well, all kinds of words don't glorify God.
She even goes on witch. No,
what, every word you
got to
say has got to glorify God? Just in case Mark asks about words, bitch, witch, stupid, idiots. I don't remember the bitch one so much. Witch? Yeah, but I mean, that's usually, you know, from this.
Get pack, witch!
We're kind of kidding around.
Yeah.
Stupid. Is that what people are? Is that being idiots? Some are being morons. Yeah.
I think she's more concerned about feelings because calling someone stupid, look, calling them ignorant is a
lot nicer. We start out the show by saying, this show is not for your self-esteem. We will go off on you. Mm-hmm. We will be unrestrained. In responding to your thinking. Look, if you don't like... Look, not everybody's going to like this show. But there's not anybody who likes every show.
But don't end it like that either.
Do you know how boring our show would be if we whitewashed this show to a typical evangelical Christian radio show?
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it either. It'd be too boring. Good grief. There's lots of... That's why I said at the beginning, there's lots of shows like that. You want to talk to someone who's going to be very sensitive to how you feel yes. about how they respond and really personally get involved in your life. Write to Focus on the Family. Don't write to me. We're very, I don't know how else you can be, we're so honest up front.
It's good.
You get to be anonymous. We will go off on you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think words like that are inappropriate, then don't listen. I don't think they're inappropriate.
But may God continue to use
God
you.
God continue
to
use, oh, God's using me if I'm violating God.
Don't misinterpret my words. I just, wow, that's awesome. Thank you for writing in.
She just doesn't like the words.
Moving on.
You know, she doesn't like comments like.
What about the wiener?
You know, that to them, that's cursing.
Oh, absolutely it is. And boobs.
Boobs. When people say boobs.
Nothing wrong, boobs.
Boobies.
That's bad to them.
It's hobbies, actually.
Hobbies, yeah.
Quit playing with your dinghy.
You know, stuff like that.
The human wang is a beautiful thing.
All these things are very insulting to a lot of people. I get it. There are people who are very, very sensitive.
Yes.
To all that. Here's my advice. If you're really sensitive
you're just so soft
to mark. This show and some of that phrasing, there's two things that could happen. One is I could quit using those words or you could quit listening. Let me think. I vote you quit listening. Okay? You know, it's not like if you're on the radio. So that's the other thing. It's an internet radio show.
Yeah.
You have to go out of your way to listen to the show. You have to go out of the show.
Especially if you don't
listen to it live.
This
show at the very beginning says, caution. The very first word.
Yes.
About the show. Caution. Caution. I mean, I don't know what else to do. I'm not cursing. That's not cursing to me. It might be to you. Okay. But I'm not cursing. The word wiener to me isn't a curse word.
Especially if it's in your name.
Who gets mad and goes, oh, wiener.
Well, then you're doomed if it's in your name.
Oh, wiener, wiener. Who uses that as a curse word?
Wiener, wiener.
Oh, boobies. Oh, boobies and wieners. I mean, who does that?
Nobody.
I'm not using that in anger. Well, actually, I do sometimes because I'm yelling at people, you know. And here's the other thing. The one thing this show does that almost no Christian show will do is honestly talk about sex.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We talk about most of our conversations at some level are inappropriate.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about masturbating. We're talking about porn.
Yep.
We're talking about orgasms. We're talking, good Lord, half of... You know, every once in a while people say, I saw an email by so-and-so, you know, was it an inappropriate email? It's good Lord, all my conversations would be inappropriate. Just talking with people about these things.
Absolutely.
We talk about this stuff all the time.
All the time.
This is what we do.
And it's not easy.
We do it,
and
we're not afraid to do it, and we do it openly, and we try to do it in a way that at the end of the day, here's the thing. It's, if you listen to the show, let me ask you people a question. Some of you that are real nervous about the show and you disapprove or whatever, why you listen, I have no idea. But if you've listened to the show, let me ask you a question. Are we for porn or are we against it?
Oh, there's no doubt we're against.
Are we for lust or are we against it?
We are against.
Are we for honoring God or against it?
For.
Are we for divorce or against it?
Highly against.
I mean, you'd have to be
good job, Ross.
Dumb as a brick. You'd have to be an idiot moron.
Yes.
To use some of these phrases the lady doesn't like. To not at the end of the day come out, wow, these guys are very against immorality.
Right.
They're against divorce. They're against abandoning their children. They're against self-censored, narcissistic people who just want to live for them. You know, it's not that they're mad about what we're for or against.
Mm-hmm. It's how
they overwhelmingly approve of what we're for or against. What they have a problem with is how I do it.
That's right.
That is their problem. That is the problem they had with Jesus, though I don't consider myself Jesus in any way, shape, or form. But if you read the Bible, that's what they had. John the Baptist.
Yep.
He came. He wouldn't eat or drink. The guy ate bugs.
Honey.
He ate bugs.
Honey.
No, yep. he ate locusts.
And locusts as well, yes.
Locusts. Who ever looked at a locust and thought, you know, there's a sandwich?
So this guy, the
guy, he takes bugs. He's a bug eater. He's a little crazy.
Yes.
He's out in the desert. He doesn't even have a house. He probably smells the high heaven.
I'd imagine.
Okay, the guy reeks, for heaven's sakes.
Forget old man smell.
Old man smell. This is way beyond old man smell. This is young man smell that needs old man smell. Okay? And they couldn't handle him. Never mind he preached righteousness, but they couldn't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jesus said, I come along, and now I eat and drink and do it. And then you call me a drunkard.
Mm-hmm.
And you accuse me of all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
At the end of the day, what religious people have a problem with, they don't look at whether what you're for or against.
Right.
They look at the way you do it. They don't like the way. Religious people always have a problem with the way you do it. Now, if you at the end of the day say, Mark is advocating divorce, okay, now you got something. Mark is advocating porn, now you got something. Mark is advocating cheating on your wife.
Mm-hmm.
No, man, you're cheating on your wife? You're cheating on your husband? I call you a slut and a whore and you're going to go to hell.
That's right.
That's what I call.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not like those words, may not like the way I do it, but you can't argue with what we're about. There can't possibly be a question in anybody's
exactly
mind who listens to more than a half hour of the show to know exactly where we stand. The problem people have is not because we're for righteousness. They don't like the way we're for righteousness.
For, yeah.
That's when you become a Pharisee. That's when you start having a problem. So you're telling me that you're celebrating that I am for advocating the kingdom of God. I'm advocating righteousness and doing life right and honoring God with your life and being morally pure. That's
just
what we
nice.
Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
But what they want is for me to do it the way they would do it.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm not going to do it the way you do it.
Right.
You can do it the way you do it. No one will listen to you because you're boring, but you can do
it. Start your own show.
You know those people who don't approve of me in my seminars because
you're taking serious subjects and making people laugh. Right.
Yeah. I get it. You don't like, don't come. It's a free country. Good grief. I have never tried to, anyone who knows me, have never tried to alter my message to please
just
anybody.
To please, mm-hmm. right?
In fact, I always assume at the beginning, let's talk about me. I love me. I'm one of my favorite subjects, like most men. When I started this thing out, I didn't care if anybody wanted me to come.
Right.
I didn't care. People come and say, well, you can't say that. Sure I can. No, yeah, they won't ask you back. Okay.
But yeah, big deal.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. Well, what if they don't? Well, then I'll just pastor. This is not like laugh your way. It's,
I've got to go speak in churches everywhere, and I've got to have people clap and cheer for me.
I've never been, I mean, I like that, but I've never been wired that way. I love doing what I'm doing, but I, yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding? I'm always shocked that people invite me to come. Not so much now. I'm starting to get used to it now. I'm finally, after 10 years, I'm fine. Just now. I'm just now getting used to the fact that people actually want me to come, and they've actually heard my stuff on DVD. So you've heard me on DVD. Yeah. And you actually want me to come. Really? I mean, that's my response. I just got off the phone with some people in Joplin, Missouri. We're talking about going to Joplin and doing a Laugh Your Way benefit.
Yep.
For some of the families down there.
We'll be
there.
Down there next week.
Yeah, with the youth group helping rebuild some stuff and cleaning up, which is great. But I'm talking about going doing a seminar, okay?
Yep.
All right, so we're all excited about that. And, but I'm talking to a Lutheran church. They're the ones who want us to come. I think it's an ECL.
ECLA?
ECLA, yeah. Aren't they kind of pretty liberal, those guys, you know? I mean, but they want us to come, and they've been listening to my material, and they're excited about it, and I think, great.
Right.
You know? And they said, I got some Catholic churches in town that have been doing it too, and they might join with us. So here I'm going to go do a benefit for a bunch of Catholics and Lutherans who want me to come, who actually heard my stuff and still want me to come anyway. I go, well, great. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, theologically we don't agree, but I'm there to help advance marriages. I don't. If all the Catholics and Lutherans in the world said, I'll never let Mark Gunger come because he says wiener, I'd go, okay.
Yep.
I don't care.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I have never, ever tried
to appease the masses.
To do that. I just, mm-hmm. Well, what I have done, I've tried to talk to everyday people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They get it. Most everyday people are not offended by this. It's religious people who've been taught you can't ever say these kind of words. You can't mention body parts. You can't talk about the, you know, wiener. You can't talk about boobs.
Now, you don't say boobs. You say the female milk-producing organs, you know, whatever sanctified version of it, you know.
But what I think is so interesting, Mark, and we talked about this before, is just the group of people that I was with that watched your Sex, Dating, and Relating, and were like, I wish someone would have talked this candidly to me when I was 13. I wish someone would have been just super frank about it. And, you know, because as girls, we're always like, guard your heart. But nobody talks about the repercussions of it if you don't guard your heart.
Yeah.
And if you don't do those things.
Yeah, I'd be about guarding something else.
That's right.
It's not, it's not your heart they're after, I got to tell you right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's more like guard your...
I got to guard your... Beep, you know, yeah, that's exactly. What I'm...
Chastity belt.
So, yeah, exactly. So, anyway, just, again, at the end of the day, I would stand up to anybody and ask them, are we for or against the right things? And I think universally they would all admit, you're for the right things.
Yep.
Are we against the wrong things? Virtually everybody would say, yes, you are very much. That's not their problem.
I know.
Their problem is, I do it in the way they don't like it.
Yep.
This is the problem Pharisees and religious people have always had. You know, this lady, if in all honesty these words offend you, then honestly, just don't listen. Again, that doesn't freak me out.
You don't have to listen.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe, and we've talked, my own son says to me, Dad, you need to calm down. We probably could get you on a lot more stations if you just take the edge off and not say any of these, you know, all these hard things that I say.
But why?
And I'd say, yeah, you're probably right, and I don't care. I'd rather not do it. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't. I want to just be who I am and the way I do it. And there's going to be people who accept it. I will relate to people. Other people won't.
Yep.
Nobody gets it, everybody. And that's just kind of where I'm at. So if I don't want to be James Dobson, God bless James Dobson. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to be him. I don't want to be these guys. I'm friends with a lot of those guys that focus on the family.
And I bet you James Dobson didn't start out like you and then go, oh, I can't say this, I can't say this, I can't, oh, but I'd really like to, but I want to win the
people
over.
No, I think he's always that way.
Exactly.
I think he's just always been him.
Right.
I think they're always careful. I know these guys.
Yep.
See, a lot of these guys, you could say the word wiener on, they just laugh, but they'd never say it.
Right.
Because they're afraid of offending, which they've got to be. They've got all these donors. If they focus on the family and says, you know, don't touch your wiener. Oh, man. You know, millions of people quit giving them money.
Phones ringing off the
just
hook.
Like that, and the phones, and they'll be hell to pay. It's not worth it for them. Okay? I'm not focused on the family. How often have I asked anybody to give me anything? You ever hear me on the show asking people to give me money?
Nope.
You know, maybe that's it too. I mean, if there's one thing that we're very independent and we do things the way that we want to do them and feel that we can relate to the kind of people we want to relate to, it's just that simple. Having said that, I probably will be asking for some money. Well, you know, especially because this Joplin thing, because I'm talking to them and we need to raise some money.
Yes.
So, and I might come to this audience in a week or so and say, you know, would you help us? Because if everybody went and we'll come up with a website that they can go to and that kind of thing, because if everybody listening to the show would give like $5, $10, we could raise a lot of money.
Yes, you could.
To go do this thing for these hurting people in Joplin. Mm-hmm. So, but even then, if you aren't, you know, if you're going to call me and say, I'm not going to give you my $5 because you said wiener, keep your $5. Yeah. I don't care.
We don't need it.
You know?
I'll give 10.
Whatever, yeah. Oh, so very, very cool. So anyway, all that rambling just to say, it's not what we're for or against they have a problem with. Because nobody is more intensely for or against the right things, I think, than we are. We are not unequivocal. I mean, we are unequivocal.
Yeah.
We are absolutely crystal clear mm-hmm. of what we believe is right and wrong. Mm-hmm. You can argue with us and say it is right or isn't, that's fine. But what their problem is, they don't like the way I mm-hmm. do it. If you don't like the way I do it, then don't listen. If you don't like the way I do my seminars, don't come. It's not like anyone's obligated. Mm-hmm. I love me. I don't have a problem.
We love you too, and you do what you do is great. And you're affecting the lives of so many.
What have I done to deserve this?
I know what I've done.
Yes.
All right, there you go. Man, it's getting hot in here, isn't it?
It is. Well,
we got these new TV lights in here, and it's like, holy moly.
I know.
I'm going to work on the air conditioning system in here.
All right. We need to do that. All right, another email here before we get ready to wrap up today's show. Hi, Mark and friends. I recently heard a talk you did.
You're assuming they're my friends.
This is true. Not after that last email. I recently heard a talk you did on family, and it's got me a little worried. My family is pretty dysfunctional. Granted, things could be a whole lot worse, but they could be a whole lot better, too. My dad is not the head of the house. I mean, he is mean, pretty lazy, and somewhat verbally abusive.
Is that my son writing?
Yeah. Because of this, my mother takes my dad's role as head of the house and shows little respect for my dad. Because of their issues, my brother and I are messed up in some ways, too. We have a hard time showing respect to our parents, particularly our dad. And my brother has shown a tendency to be physically abusive toward me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about just regular brother-sister stuff. He slapped me in the face before. God has done a lot of work in my life to get me away from some of the bad habits of my family. And I can tell you that there are a lot of areas where I am not like them. However, even with all of this work that has been done in me, there are still some fears that I have. Number one, how do I keep my family from scaring off any guys who might otherwise be interested in me? Number two, how do I make sure these
Ask
issues...
Ask my daughter.
Yeah, how do I, right? Maybe I misread that, scaring or scarring. Number two, how do I make sure these issues that I've seen in my family all my life don't become issues in my future marriage, particularly when it comes to respecting the men in my life, whether it's my dad or my future husband?
Well, you just make a determination. A lot of us had very dysfunctional parents. I speak from personal experience. Mm. My wife comes from a very dysfunctional family. Believe it or not, and I know it's going to sound crazy, you can turn that into a positive.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because you walk away from it and you make the determination, we will never be like that.
Intentional.
You're just very intentional because you've seen it.
Yeah. And not use that as an excuse, but then choose.
Yeah.
Choose. But see, a lot of people do. They use it as the excuse mm-hmm. because they don't want to actually look in the mirror and realize that the problem's with them.
And have to change.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't control your parents. Your parents might be complete dysfunctional, psycho, wacko, crazy people. That still doesn't justify you acting badly. So you need to be honest with who you are, and you need to be responsible for yourself. It's sad that they're that way. They shouldn't be that way. You can't control it. It's not your job to turn your dad into the head of your home.
Right.
It's not your job to straighten out your mom.
That's
it's
good.
Not your job either way. Now, your brother, if he smacks you, just you need to learn how to kick him right where to...
In the giblets.
In the giblets. Or knock him upside the head or something. You have to put that up. How old are you? I'd slap some woman and girl in my house, man. She'd have ripped my eyes out.
Oh, no doubt.
Don't your brother slap you. You knock him upside the head. Good grief.
So how do you look at that number one question that you had? How do you keep, you know, family from scaring off guys who might be otherwise interested in me? don't bring them around.
No, it's great because if they're really interested in you, you'll know they're really interested in you mm-hmm. if they can stand the psycho crazy family.
And do you think that that's a good standard for her to have? Because you say that you don't just marry.
No, the guy will have to be comfortable with the crazy family she has. And don't marry some guy who hates your family but loves you.
Can you knock the brother
out? I'm sick of that. Women, guys, oh, I hate her family, but I love her. I hate her family. They just fight about it all the days of their life. Mm-hmm. You hate the family, move on. Mm-hmm. Listen, my wife married into crazy.
Yeah.
Have you been around the Gunger household? All the talk about dysfunctional crazy people. Ooh. And her family, I mean, is like, hello. I can say this because none of them listen to the show. But for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. No, it's like a good point,
though. Bizarro land. But I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
We know what it is. We're not shocked. I don't go over there and, I'm so offended by her father. I'm so offended by her mother. Honestly, some of you people, you're so dorky. They're just dorks. The whole life, everything, they're a victim to everything.
Yeah.
I hate the way his father talks to me. I hate the way... Honestly, you don't know this. You've been married, how long have you been married? 20 years. You're still shocked.
Yeah.
That when you go over that the father-in-law is a complete ass.
Right.
Speaking of words ladies don't like.
Right.
But that's not cursing. It's a biblical word.
Yep, that's right.
It's an ass. Yep. And I mean it in the biblical way. Stubborn, obnoxious ass. And now, after 20 years, you're still upset because he's an ass?
Yeah.
You don't see this? Man, you should know going in, you ought to look at each other and giggle and say, okay, here we go. Your dad's going to be an ass, but I think I'll be all right, you know? And you smile, and you grin and bear it, mm-hmm. and then you get the heck out of there. And thank God, you don't have to see him again until next Christmas, mm-hmm. or whatever the routine is.
That's right. Mm-hmm. No, it's good
honestly,
advice.
So you got some guy, you know, with the good news for you, dear, listen, you are not a victim. You don't have to have a bad life. Don't think because your parents are psycho crazy people, you have a bad life. That's a lot of us had psycho crazy parents, and we've had great lives.
Intentionally stop the cycle of
you
stupid.
Intentionally stop mm-hmm. it. Don't yep. The fact mm-hmm. that you're aware of it is a great start. Don't you settle in and think you're doomed for anything.
That's right.
The good news is when some boy comes over and meets your psycho family and he still loves you, wants to be around you, you got yourself a good boy.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's a great sign right there.
Yay.
You know, and your dumb brother hit you bottom upside the head.
And maybe your boyfriend, too.
Boyfriend?
Well, if she ever finds a man that's willing to tolerate, you know, being in that family, if the brother steps out. I tell you what, I'd step up and knock some CNs.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck she's talking about. She said once. He did it once.
Yeah.
And what were you doing? Going, yeah, 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 yeah. I might have slapped you, too. You know, people always...
two sides.
There's two sides to everything. You always got this righteous thing. That guy punched me. Really? Yeah, so when everybody thinks the guy's bad.
Yeah.
But back up the videotape. What are you doing? La, 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 la. You That's smell, exactly you right. smell, you're an idiot, you smell, you did. Yep. Yeah, I'd punch you too. For heaven's sakes.
It's what brothers and sisters
yeah,
do.
Yeah, you know, if you're irritating him so much, I doubt highly, dear, that your brother just walked in the house and just slapped you upside the head. I'll bet you had something to do with it.
Probably.
So be nice, and then he won't slap you. If he walks you for no reason to slap you, then knock his block off. You know, just relax. You can have a great life. You can have a fabulous life because now you know the kind of life you don't want.
That's right.
In a way, it's an advantage.
Yeah. Use it as a springboard for positive psycho crazy. Change. Yes.
You know what some of the best parents are? You know, this sounds terrible. But they're the ones who did everything wrong when they were teenagers. They don't just let their kids do anything because they know what they do because they did it. Exactly. And they saw the bad results of it. Mm-hmm. You know? So you can always take a negative and turn it into a positive. That's what I would do in your situation. It is not, however, your job in any way, shape, or form to fix your family. All right, you guys, see you later.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.